tell me what happened next, yeah.
Damage was done, obviously, because we lost a lot of market share at that stage. We lost money. English biscuits became cheaper than Irish biscuits. Even afterwards, when we tried to pick up lost ground, that perception remained that Irish biscuits were expensive.
Yes.
People bought Irish biscuits because they were buying Irish, but they're still expensive. Marginally so. But post-1978, into the mid-80s, period of years, Irish inflation was very high. Inflation worldwide was very high in the late 70s. In the early 80s, a woman called Margaret Thatcher got to grips with things in Britain. British inflation dropped. Our inflation roared away. And by the mid-80s, say wage rates in Dublin were 25% higher than in Liverpool, currency adjusted. 30% higher in some industries. In food, in textiles and various things. And Irish companies were totally uncompetitive. And all these businesses had been built up, the textile companies and so on, behind these tariff walls in the 30s, suddenly found they couldn't compete. And I'd say, I can't remember now, but huge closures of textile companies particularly, food companies. You remember, sure, when you're younger, the company Lamb's Jams, Gatto's Cakes, Jacobs, Cadbury's are still here, but they're different kind of guys.
All the food products.
Kellogg's,
yes.
Stopped manufacturing here. All the food companies, mainly if they had a British base, they just started importing from Britain. If they were like Jacobs or Cadbury, Irish centred, well, we had to cut back. Now, by the end of the 80s, there was very little Irish food manufacturing left. Because the rate of inflation between the two countries was so different. And that led to, now we come to trade unions, from the mid-70s onwards, this trend of more rapidly rising wages in this country developed. Coupled with the fact that British industry, generally speaking, at any particular level, would have been much larger scale than ours. And larger scale allows you to invest more heavily in technology, higher productivity, etc. Harsh reality is, if you're in a stable industry, as most food or textile people would be, increases in productivity generally mean reduction in employment. You know, same output, less people. All of those issues were kind of a cocktail for industrial relations, unease, unrest, aggravation, conflict. We had four fairly large-scale strikes in Jacobs in the late 70s and towards the late 80s. One or two of them certainly were caused by the craft unions, who were very resistant to change. Understandably, because very often men's whole, it happened in other areas, like printing, for instance, you know, where the whole skill was wiped out virtually. With us, the larger strikes were to do with wage rates. I remember one occasion there was a strike, the unions were looking at a 15% wage increase. The Labour Court eventually awarded them 11%, which in my opinion was grossly excessive. Because in business, you have to compete. And if your wages are already 20% higher than your competitor, who happens to be based in Liverpool or Birmingham, then you can't afford to pay 11% more.
Yeah.
Now, the harsh reality was, the worker in Liverpool or Birmingham was probably shopping 15% cheaper than the worker in Dublin. I mean, this is it's a very difficult issue here. And we had considerable difficulties.
Did you find yourself in the firing line there, that, you know, that you were the one that was taking the brunt of this?
I tried. I mean, when this process started in the late 70s, as we entered the 76, 77, I described to you the period we had of being totally uncompetitive material prices. The company was for the second time in 10 years on the brink of collapse. We still owed the banks a lot of money. We just moved into Tala. And I knew that our bank overdraft, so to say, was rising rapidly as the year we lost money. And I knew the banks were becoming very impatient, which are the foreign banks, very impatient.
This is the debt now that you had borrowed.
That's right. And the repayments were starting to be made, and they weren't being made.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that we had to do something very dramatic to get the banks off our back. And I knew the only people who were going to help us were ourselves.
How did you manage to do that then?
Well, I went to the unions and I said to them, look, inflation that year was 18%, 1977. And, of course, people were looking for pay rise of similar amount. And I went to the unions and said, I'm going to suggest to you there's no pay rise here.
Yeah.
And they looked at me, you're mad. But I tell you what, furthermore, I want the workers to vote on this. We want a ballot. Not union by union, but a total ballot of all the workforce in Jacobs. And furthermore, I want your agreement that I will meet with the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
I want groups of people, 20, 30 people at most at a time. I will explain to them why I want this. I'll explain what the problem is in my way, and will you let me do this? If furthermore, if they do agree to take up their pay pause, will you agree to it?
Yeah.
And they say, in fairness, I said, yeah, we will. Because I said, the bottom line to this is, if they do this, I'm then going to go down to the bank and say, 3,000 over 2,500 people at that stage in Tala. Yeah, they've agreed to take a pay cut effectively, but you're all getting pay rises. And Dan, are you going to close the doors on us now? Because public opinion will tear you apart. We did that, I remember, for 6 weeks I met. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a big company, that's a company of that size. And one of the very few regrets I have about Jacobs is you don't really get to know people.
Yeah.
You know, people on the factory floor. You can do this walk around business and how are you, etc. But it's all very superficial. You know, it's not real. The funny thing is, the people I got to, among the working people, the people I got to know best, obviously, were the shop stewards, the guys who represent the workers, because they you'd have had dealings with, you got to know them. And I have to say, by and large, oh, it many, many, many a difficulty. I got to trust them. I got to like them. I got to appreciate their values.
So that was a good exercise.
Well, it was very good. It was wonderful. We got the ballot. We got the agreement, and a lot of good things came out of that.